But anyway, put it about there. Week's been pretty good. Had a chance to have a lot of hangout time, whether it's phone time or personal time. Me and Donna were bowling, and I said, boy, my legs are killing me. So we were paying for an hour, and I said, man, this size 14 ball is killing my wrist. I used to throw that ball when I was young. I could throw that ball over that thing. And about, then we had like 13 minutes left, me and Donna both said, we paid for an hour, but like they could have 13 minutes. We were done. So just a great hangout time. We've done two different bowl outs. We did Fanny. Fanny used to be good, but now the ball is all chipped in and they go down the aisle, boom, 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 boom. So we went to spinners out there where it's a little nice and just the balls are so smooth and low. They got the skate ring next door and we talked about skating, like that might be a good idea. A great time hanging out with you. So that's what we kind of, when we get together with you, it's kind of some of the things we'll do. We're like, let's go to the top. We hung out with Todd and Scott and Dean this week also. Just, you know, spending some time and just talking, enjoying the weather. The weather was great and good. I thought Scott was going to leave. He's going to be at the work with the Lord. Somebody forgot to stop court for him to plug up. Get to him in. So it was great just having that time hanging out. Later we went and took Charisse out to get some ice cream. Let's do an ice cream day. Mm-hmm. We poured some ice cream. It's always good. So we got some ice cream. Just hung out. So just relationships. This was living with everybody through the week. It's been great.
Amen.
Relationships are good. Relationships are great. That's what God talks about here in Romans. He talks about relationships. It's very key. This is a question for you to think about. Do you throw away relationships that are tough? Mm-hmm. We've had some tough ones in our lives. Mm-hmm. Some that we probably moved on from, or some of the individuals probably moved on from us anyway. They didn't know that they were tough to us. Difficult, but do you abandon difficult relationships? They just want to throw your hands up. I'm done with it, do you stop dealing with those who you consider just unlovable? Relationships can get to that point. They can get to the point where you're like, I don't know where to go with this. I don't know if I can give any more of me out of this, And I ask all these questions because I think about God and how God is dealing with these people. Wow. Israelites and chosen them. Only many times God threw his hands up.
Yeah.
I gave you Jesus, and we still not making no ground. Mm-hmm. That's tough, man. Gave you my first born, my first love, and so this is what I give in return. God's relationship with Israel has been, and it is today, still tough, difficult, and at times a nation hard to love. Mm-hmm. But God shows us in the book of Romans that any relationship that you desire to have with someone is worth fighting for.
Okay.
Gotta love God. I'm gonna keep fighting for it. Because I'm difficult. Has God cast away his people, the Israelites? That's a good question to think about. And has he done it today? Over in Romans 11, it's a really great chapter. I did some in-depth study on it. I don't know about you, but sometimes you have a great quiet time in a passage or a chapter. You just see things, you're like, wow, this is so much here to unpack.
Yeah.
You just don't have enough time to do something. So you have to take the nuggets and the sound bites that you get out of there and say, let's make it work. But in Romans 11, chapter 1, it starts off, Paul starts off by saying, I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he? Far from it. For I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people, whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says in the passages about Elijah? How he pleads with God against Israel. Lord, they have killed your prophets. They have torn down your altars, and I alone am left. And they are seeking my life. But what is the divine response to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal.
Yeah.
Wow. I love this argument that Paul puts up with as he's carrying on my Holy Spirit that, no, God's not alone. Here's a witness to testify against you guys. And I do get Elijah, you know. Like I'm on the left, but God said I've got more people than Israel who are for me than against me. So let's address this here. First, let's be clear that Israel is God's elect nation, which means he foreknew them or he chose them, and they are his. Let's be clear, because of the cross, we became God's elect, adopted into the family through Christ. Shouldn't we make every effort to respond to God's will for our own life? God is trying to get Israel to respond to his will. And that's what's been going so far as Paul's been writing this letter here in Romans. He's trying to build them. He's trying to get them to respond and everything. But Israel can be stuck in it. Their hearts can be hard. But God is patient. He's working through this tough relationship with them. He's working with these difficult people against whom he chose long ago to be with the gospel will come through the Savior. But we continue down on in verse 5 of Romans 11. It says, in the same way then, there has also come to be at the present time a remnant according to God's gracious choice. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Since grace is no longer grace. And to clean that up here, we're just talking about it says, basically, like, they're thinking that they can work to get into heaven, work to get into a better relationship with God. They want to nullify grace. You know, it is impossible to put works above grace. To put works above grace is to cancel out grace. With works, you would nullify its position of authority and diminish its power and love. Israel's main concern had always been in trying to please God with good works. You know, a lot of us who ever got baptized coming out of the water, we came out excited. And we fell into a culture of focusing on we got to work as hard as we can versus appreciating grace more. Now, I don't want to take away from work, but that's how we came out. Man, I'm working for the Lord. Amen. We should have that zeal. We should have that enthusiasm. But somewhere along the line, we started saying, grace don't care about the way. It's whatever I can do is what's going to please the Lord. You know, coming out of the morning, focused on words, denying the power of grace. You know, grace is a part of our salvation. But somehow we became consumed with the world works. Which we tell you, Ephesians 8, it declared this. Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us. So let's clear this up. Let's break this down. Number one, we are saved by grace through faith. You got to remember that. Not by works. You can't work your way to salvation. Just can't do it. It is a gift from God. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's given. He never said he had to earn the gift. It's given. Not by works. We are God's handiwork. I love the way God just said that. God just knows he loves the world. And we are his handiwork, his creation. We are created in Jesus to do what? Good works. But we do have to do some works. But works are not the priority. Works do not take the lead. The works we've been created to do is the work he has been prepared for us. We need to understand works cannot save us. Works cannot replace grace. No matter how hard you work at it. You know, the nation refused to submit to Christ's righteousness. This was the issue with Israel.
So why did they refuse?
Why are they refusing to submit to Christ's righteousness? Sometimes we struggle like them with our own self-righteousness. That will cause you not to submit to the righteousness of Christ. And when you become self-righteous, you truly become religious.
Yeah.
This is the problem that Jews were having at the time. More self-righteous. They could not submit to Christ. You know, we would expect a pagan ruler to harden himself against the Lord. Not believers. We would expect that. But we do not expect God's people to do so. Not as elect. But it has happened. Sad to say, but continue. It happens. You know, this is what happened to Israel. Their spiritual blessing should have led them to Christ, but instead, it became a snare that kept them from Christ. Their very religious practices and observances became substitutes for the real experience of salvation.
Right.
Sad to say, the same mistake is made today when people depend on religious rituals or practices instead of trusting in Christ. Mm-hmm. Yes, the body needs to be together. Yes, we need to be together for community. Yes, we need to have Bible study. But those should not replace. Those things that we need to come together, they should not replace the gift that is called Christ that is in us.
Amen. Wow.
We should not do that.
Amen.
Now, sometimes we bank on that. I go to church. I go to ministry. I've never been on this pew for days. I don't care nothing about it. Okay, then I just want to know you're going to submit to Christ.
Yeah.
Christ is the way to God. Mm-hmm. This truly was a stumbling block for the Israel. But we should not allow it to become a stumbling block for us.
Right.
You know, they had a hard time accepting Christ. And they believed that they were not simple like the Gentiles. Yeah, you probably live by that. If you get in that water, you come out, you're a new person. I'm no longer like them. But God reminded them, oh no, you speak just as much sin as they are. You're just aware of that. You know how to fight it back.
Yeah.
You know, Paul uses the Gentiles to prove the Jews guilty of sin. Now, rejection is a hard pill to swallow. The Jews spent a lot of time rejecting God. It says almost over 10 times rejecting God. Over the time of existence. In Romans chapter 11, we talk about engrafting branches. And I love here, Paul kind of transitions and said, let's get some clarity to understand everybody's position in God's plan. And in Romans chapter 11, verses 11 to 12, he says, I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? Far from it. But by their wrongdoing, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. None of their wrongdoing proves to be riches for the world, and their failure, riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? Read it one more time. Now, if their wrongdoing proves to be riches for the world, and their failure, riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? When the Jews rejected the gospel, God sent it to the Gentiles, and they believed and were saved. What one person may consider junk, another person considers it to be treasure. You know, when Jesus came, God made sure that he was born as a Jew, born into the nation of the Israelites. And who did Jesus come to first? The Jews, the nation of Israel. And they rejected him. After that, God set it up, take it to the Gentiles. God said, I'm going to do this to make you guys jealous. Because the Jews believe that this is exclusively to us. Anything that God offers is exclusive to us. Little did they know that God was like, no, this is for everybody. You know, here's the question I asked earlier. Did they fall beyond recovery? That's something to think about. Did they fall beyond recovery? Does their transgression mean riches for the world? And their rejection means reconcile. I mean, the rejection reconciles the world. God was using the Jews and their stubbornness and their hardness to win everybody over. Isn't that something? And at the same time, winning them over, he wanted to make them jealous. Isn't that something? You know, none of these words suggest a final judgment on Israel. Rejection is hard. It hurts. Nobody likes to be rejected. We all want to be welcomed and invited and warmed in. And we hate struggling when we're rejected or things are made hard. This past Friday, I went to get our tags for our vehicle. And of course, it's a disabled tag. I went again and I get to the counter and they said, can't give you one. It's 5 years, you have to renew, you have to get a doctor, right? And she's still disabled every 5 years. I'm like, what? She gave me a form, so I'm going to the VA, get to the VA, and I go up there, you know, they notice where I'm getting a so this is what they tell me. They said, well, she's permanent. I said, I don't know that. You know that. I don't know that. You know, they said, well, the doctor's in clinic. I said, okay. They said, she'll be clean all day tonight. So I just told them, I said, well, I can try another time, but this way, I got another time. What I need to do. So I'm thinking that's going to be easy. Well, you need to leave here and go to the west side of the building and go see this person get a blue form. I'm like, okay, we're getting a little tough here. I said, I got time. So I go to the west side of the VA building, get there, and I get there, and it's 1:28, and the lady got a sign that said, go to lunch at 1:30. Oh. And one of the ladies like, well, what can we do? I said, I gotta get a form. I said, I can't. What? Well, I can't. So I went and sat outside of the canopy. So I felt like I had waited. Came back. Had to get in line. Wait, get my blue form. Walk from that side of the building to the east side. Back to the streets of Clinton. This is not where you've been. We've been looking for you. I said, well, the lady went to lunch. And said, well, okay, well, we've been trying. I said, I got time. And you go out the other room. Sat down in the women's office, pink linen, not before women's. I said, that's a pink office. I'm just going to take a nap. I said, take a nap. Sometime later, I don't know, sometime later, somebody said, I'm back. Finally wake up, and it's the streets of the best practitioner. I said, here you go. I said, thank you. I just don't want to go. But I say that sometimes, when you feel rejected or things that just not working out, patience is what's needed.
Amen.
Yep.
To get the job done. Went back, got the tag, felt sorry. You know? That's it. They told me, we'll see you in 5 years. Yeah, I'll be ready next time. But this is how God is dealing with the Jews. He's like, God, as much as they're rejecting him, he's like, patience and love. I gotta work with it. I don't know if God's thinking of that by me, but God is definitely being patient and working with them. You know, the amazing thing is that through the Israelites' fall, salvation came to the Gentiles. God promised that the Gentiles would be saved, and he kept his promise. Will he not also keep his promise to the Jews? God makes it clear that the Gentiles would share in Israel's kingdom. God would do this by introducing them. New factor into the Jerusalem community, into the Jewish community. And that factor that he introduced is called us, the church. Mm-hmm. He's interjecting the church into the Jewish community, in which this community will be made up of believing Jews and Gentiles who will be one in Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, going a little further, guys, we close up. One of the things I want us to take a note is that Paul gives clarity on why Israel was not totally out of the picture. But they're just not out. And if you jump down with me to verse 16:11, he says, if the part of the dough offers a first fruit, if the part of the dough offered as first fruit is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. And I read that from my Bible idea. So I did some reference on this, and he breaks that lesson. He says the reference here is to Numbers 15:7-21. The first part of the dough was to be offered up to God as a symbol that the entire lump belongs to him. The same idea was involved in the Feast of the First Fruits, when the priest offered a sheaf to the Lord as a token that the entire harvest, was his. The basic idea is that when God accepted the heart, he sanctified the whole. Mm-hmm. Applying this to history, the history of Israel, we understand Paul's argument. God accepted the founder of the nation, who is who? Abraham. And in doing so, set apart his descendants as well. God also accepted the other patriarchs, Isaac and Jacob, despite their sins or failures. This means that God must accept the rest of the lump, the nation of Israel. But the nation needs to choose repentance over works to be fully received into God's grace. Grace doesn't work if you are denying its power. Sometimes we don't see the blessing that we have. Yes, we don't see it. Because of Abraham, God to Abraham, your descendants will be what? As numerous as the stars in the sky.
Yep.
And sand on the beach. They don't realize something's put in place that keeps them lumped in. Now what can keep them out is what? Their hard heart.
Yeah.
And them not willing to submit to that God to what? Do a new thing, which happens to be who? Christ. So God is a loving God. He's a giving God. He's like, I'm here. You just, can you change with me? But they're like, no, I don't think we're going to work for it. Now, most of us take anything pretty easy these days sometimes. Anybody willing to work for something, like, don't work for it. He offered it to you. But God wants them to get it. If you just choose to repent, I will receive any grace. Stop trying to work for something that you can never acquire on your merits. Close that here in Romans 11, verse 32. It says, for just as once you were disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience, so these also now have been disobedient. That because of the mercy shown to you, they also may now be shown mercy. For God has shed up all in disobedience so that he may show mercy to all. And these last two passages, he's addressing both the Jews and the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go back earlier, I skipped over a whole part of this in more detail. But he talks about the root is Abraham and the patriarchs. The branches is the nation of Israel. And he says, just because he breaks up some of the nation of Israel, people who are disobedient don't want to get around with God, and he drafts the Gentiles in, we all of a sudden think like, oh, we're grafted. We're grafted in. We're special. He says, well, hold on. Hold on. Just as they are disobedient, you've been disobedient too. Don't think you're better than those who are actually tied into the branch.
That's right.
And we can think that sometimes. So I want to make sure you click in the step and talk about both parties being disobedient. But God wants to show mercy to all, to those grafted in and to those who are within the branch. You know, quote right here, reading from a little bit. Because of the unbelief of the Jews, the Gentiles were saved, said Paul. Now may it be that through your salvation, Israel will come to know Christ. Paul repeatedly reminds the saved Gentiles that they had a spiritual obligation to Israel to provoke them to jealousy. Israel's hardness is only in part, which means that the individual Jews can be saved. God has included all in unbelief, Jews and Gentiles, so that all might have the opportunity to be saved by grace. There is no difference. If God can save Jews by his grace and mercy today, why can he not save them? We must remember that God chose the Jews so that the Gentiles might be saved. As it says in Genesis 12:1-3, and thee shall all families of the earth be blessed, was God's promise to Abraham. The tragedy was that Israel became exclusive and failed to share the truth with the Gentiles. They thought that the Gentiles had to become Jews in order to be saved. But God declared both Jews and Gentiles to be lost and condemned.
That's right.
This meant that he could have mercy on all because of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross.
Amen.
And I leave you with this. Works won't save you. Being exclusive doesn't make you right. Repentance is